first of all, what a great day to be here in Colorado with so many of our amazing farmers and ranchers from around this great country. We've got a lot of work to do. I'm leaving here in about 10 minutes to give a pretty major speech. We're going to be announcing some new things. I'm sure a lot of you will move over to that, if not all of you. So I'm not going to give a lot of it away, but we will be making some major announcements in my address in just a few minutes. I've now been on the job just over 2 weeks, and it's been incredible. Been to five or six states now, I think, talked to hundreds and hundreds of our farmers and ranchers. We've already released some pretty major plans, made some big announcements. I'm sure a lot of you have tracked that. But there's a lot more coming. We're moving on Trump time. That some of you may have seen. We've moved very quickly, but it's the honor of a lifetime to be in this role. So I'll take some questions, and we'll see if we can get a lot of your questions answered.
On Friday, I have C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today. On Friday, during the Ag Outlook Forum, you described the state of the ag economy as dire.
I did.
I just wanted to see if you could elaborate a little further on those comments and what, in your assessment, makes the state of the ag economy dire.
Yeah, C.J., thank you for that question. So clearly, there are a lot of factors that go into this, but when you've got a $49 billion trade deficit, that is devastating to our American farmers and ranchers. $49 billion. I think on Friday it was $45 billion, and I think some new numbers have since come out. When the cost of inputs went up 30% just in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, how do any of our farmers make any money when the cost of inputs go up 30%, your trade deficit increases $49 billion now, and then you have a whole host of regulations that have been layered on over and over and over again. So there are a lot of factors. We are attacking it from all sides, putting together the plan that can hopefully begin to roll that back. I am planning to very aggressively, with President Trump's permission, go out into the world and look to expand our markets and also make capital easier, especially for our younger farmers, as we begin to build, hopefully, the next generation of our leaders in agriculture. Thank you, C.J. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the first cabinet meeting was like family.
It was.
So we're at this meeting, and there are thousands of exhibitors showing new technology.
Yeah.
In the last 60 years, on the average, we have double crop production for corn and soybeans mm-hmm. per acre. Yet there is a member of your cabinet that says everything that our producers are doing is poisoning themselves, poisoning the soil, and producing food that is unsafe for consumers. Who's right?
Well, thank you, first of all. Good to see you again. It was a great day. I think this was last Wednesday. It was our very first cabinet meeting. Sitting in that room where Abraham Lincoln once sat with his cabinet, deciding the future of America and standing up for what was right. Sitting in that same room where, you know, some of our later founding fathers, but had continued to be leadership, that it wasn't built at the very beginning of the country, but soon after. And some of the most important decisions were made in that room with various members of American leadership for presidents from different times throughout our country's history. So sitting in there, I was a staffer the last time as President Trump's domestic policy chief, but this time actually sitting at the table was truly an overwhelming and surreal experience, but also the greatest blessing. At the same time, understanding what's at stake and how we really will make America great again. For me, it is making agriculture great again. And you're referencing Secretary Bobby Kennedy. Secretary Kennedy and I have already begun building a strong relationship, a great, hopefully, partnership where we can work together, where we begin to move forward. And perhaps I can spend a little time making sure that he understands that some of the things maybe that he has been told or believed or has read isn't entirely accurate. And the importance of ensuring that our farmers and our ranchers and that really America understands the importance of things like pesticides and others to ensure that we are able to continue to feed America and, frankly, to feed the world. I feel confident. I feel very, very confident. I'm very encouraged that as we work to make America healthy again, we will be able to do it in a very intentional way that not only doesn't compromise our farmers and our ranchers and our ag community, but actually helps to elevate and make more prosperous than ever before. I know that's where President Trump stands, and I, of course, stand along with him to effectuate that vision. Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
During President Trump's first term, there was assistance provided to commodity producers that lost out on export revenues as a result of tariffs.
That's right.
And you suggested that a similar program could be put in place this time. plans to introduce assistance to producers that have lost out because of rising input prices as a result of tariffs on Mexico and Canada, for example?
Everything is on the table right now, everything. I know that President Trump, whom I speak with regularly, realizes the state of the farm economy in this country. The last time I know he pushed Secretary Perdue to ensure that we were able to make whole, or at least as obviously it was imperfect, but as best as we could, some of those, and hopefully most of those, if not all, who had been hurt. But again, everything is on the table. We're building the team at USDA to ensure that we have the structure and the plan in place to allow us to move very quickly. I'll be talking about this in my speech in just a minute as well.
One more question.
Yes, sir. Hopefully we can do a couple more than just one more. Is that okay, Kaylee? Maybe I'm supposed to be on the main stage in 1 minute, but why don't we take two or three more?
Secretary Rollins, Jesse Allen, Agriculture of America. Kind of piggybacking off the tariff question, I know you've been doing a lot of roundtables with producers.
Yes.
There are a lot of folks in agriculture who are concerned about what the potential impacts could be. What are you hearing from producers? Are they concerned with the current strategy when it comes to trade, tariffs, et cetera, and trying to, you know, whether it's a negotiation tactic or whatever the case is, what are you hearing from producers?
There is no question. Everywhere I go, in the four or five states I've been to so far, we've had a lot of producers into the USDA headquarters. When I'm in Washington, I'm sort of constantly trying to be talking to them and hearing their concerns directly. It's very helpful for me personally and figuring out what the next steps are. Everyone is very concerned, and so ensuring that we have all of the data, the information that we need, understanding the decisions that they are being made, that are being currently made, what implications those have. Obviously, that is my role, to take that to President Trump and to the team that is negotiating, that is working on those deals, to ensure that those concerns are heard effectively and that we have a plan in place to make sure that our farm community is not compromised more. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Josh Bakey with Farm Progress. Regarding federal crop insurance, are you committed to maintaining the current federal subsidy rate, or will you look to make cuts to that as you go through the process?
My goal is to ensure that our farmers and ranchers not just face more severe and dire consequences than what they are already facing, and that hopefully we can turn that around quickly, but that we move into a new era of prosperity for those producers and for our ag community. Clearly, everything is on the table in terms of right-sizing our government, and I think we've all seen that. But I've also seen a real willingness from those outside of USDA as we go to them and circle back and say, you know, maybe this needs to be preserved, or maybe we even need to expand this. The egg plan that I rolled out, the avian flu plan that I rolled out last week at the White House, is a great example of that. That just ensuring that our government is as intentional, and that as we right-size, that we're serving the very people that we're called to serve, and that overwhelmingly, I would argue, voted for and supported President Trump moving into the November election, and those that overwhelmingly supported him, the most overwhelming support came from this community. And the president realizes that, and so I think rest assured that hopefully those decisions are made with that in mind. One more. Yes, sir.
Conservation programs, where do you see that shaking out as you look to shift the agency more towards serving farmers? A lot of concern about that, farmers feeling like they're doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that shaking out?
Listen, our farmers are the original conservationists. There's no doubt about that. Our revolution was fought by farmers 250 years ago. They are the best purveyors and preservationists of the land, that we are looking at everything line by line by line. Our chief of staff is the incredible Kaylee Buller. She is here. She's really leading that effort. And I feel confident that as we look to right size the USDA and all of the agencies across the government, as we look to realign the agency to better serve our farmers and our ranchers, as we look to move out things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and progressive, quote, progressive ideals in terms of how we move money out, those days are over. Now we look to really focus on those that are truly feeding this country and the world. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You talked about trade and expanding markets and increasing markets for U.S. farmers and ranchers. When you talk about the tariff conversation, how are you? One, using that as is that just the negotiating tool, or does it make that trade conversation with other partners, knowing that this is going on here in the U.S.?
I just was talking to some producers before I walked in here. I think it is no surprise to anyone in this room that the pace at which President Trump is currently meeting with world leaders, some of those meetings go better than others, as we saw on Friday. But I think as we see that, for me personally, and I hope for the audience that you all represent and why you're here, you hopefully are encouraged that while we're entering probably some tense trade negotiation moments and days and perhaps weeks and maybe even months, that the place of President Trump, Vice President Vance, and America in the world, I believe, is strengthening every day. And I do think that is going to give us some really good opportunity to strike some of these deals to ensure that we are expanding that market access. So there are so many different pieces on the chess board, thank you, that are being moved around right now. And it is a bit of a game of three-dimensional chess. But having said that, I believe so sincerely that President Trump has such a good team of people that are extremely aggressive, very intentional, that work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I, as being one of them, President Trump being sort of the key 24/7 day a week, but the rest of us are called to do that as well within our different lanes. And so I am encouraged. I hope to begin making trade trips very soon across the world. I've already begun conversations with several potential key significant trading partners that I think will make a huge difference to our farmers and ranchers back home. Yes, sir.
Sean Haney, Real Agriculture. You're concerned about input costs, yet the administration, as you mentioned, is threatening tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Mm-hmm. 87% of the potash used in the Midwest comes from the province of Saskatchewan. You also say you talk to the president regularly, which we all believe you. What are you recommending to him in regards to tariffs on Mexico?
You know, I don't want to obviously talk about personal conversations with him, but just know that I have had conversations with him specific to that issue and will continue. But also the teams from USTR, a U.S. Trade Representative who we just got confirmed, Jamison Greer just a couple of days ago, Howard Lutnick, obviously Commerce Secretary, who's leading a lot of these conversations and negotiations on behalf of this White House. Kevin Hassett is head of the National Economic Council. He's within the West Wing. He's also as well. And so our conversations are ongoing and will continue to be, and I fully recognize that. Yes, sir.
Madam Secretary, Bryce Tuesday with the Rural Radio Network in Nebraska. My question is about the DOGE cuts that impacted federal employees. The U.S. Meat and Animal Research Center is placed there in Nebraska. Had 17 employees that lost their job due to those cuts. Are there plans to look at those cuts that took place, or are those
yes.
cuts gone?
No, and we have been looking at them. And in fact, we have, I have been very transparent in this. This is an extremely aggressive effort that I fully support, but in being so aggressive, there will be mistakes made. And there have been mistakes made. I think in the first tranche, we let go as part of those cuts some of the avian flu experts. And immediately, Kaylee brought them back and have done that. I was down at the Borlaug Institute in College Station on Friday, looking at all of their great researchers, and the three scientists that greeted me, some of the world's most renowned agriculture researchers that the Borlaug Institute and Texas A&M had recruited, were also given the pink slip. But within a few days or a week, they too were brought back. So that is, I think, a really important part of this, as we're moving at Trump speed, that there will be some mistakes made, and that we will fully take responsibility for it and recognize it when that happens. One more.
All right, here.
Secretary
yes,
Thomas.
Ma'am.
Corinne LaRue with American Ag Network.
Hi, Corinne.
On the heels of his question there, I've interviewed a couple folks that were with the USDA, sub-agencies, and, they'd gotten a grant for a specific, project. And in these areas or in these situations, where money is allocated for a specific program or a specific project, and now has been removed or they've been removed from the position, what are the plans with that money, as it's not necessarily going to go to anything else? Is it just going to sit there?
Yeah, we're repurposing it. And let me give you an example of that. The avian flu plan that we rolled out on Wednesday includes significant funds for biosecurity to lock the barns down, includes significant funds for repopulation, includes significant funds for further research and investment into therapeutics and vaccines. So that's the goal, is we're canceling 978 DEI trainings, including gender ideology trainings, and including contracts on gender research in Brazilian rainforests and DEI research for pest management. Gone. That all now becomes repurposing to helping our farmers and our ranchers. All right, y'all. Thank you. Thank you.